Greetings, Mr. and Mrs. Middle America and all the ships at sea. This is Ian Punnett on Coast to Coast AM. And to the hostile invading alien armies hovering silently behind their cloaking devices just outside of Earth's atmosphere, remember, eat the Canadians first. They have much better health care, they're tastier, and they may be the only place you're going to get fall coming up on Monday. We're about 24 hours away from the start of fall, and over two-thirds of the United States may be setting record high temperatures Monday and all of next week, daily high temperatures for fall. On the West Coast, yes, looks like cooler, kind of traditional autumnal weather. But for the rest of the country, looking pretty weird. Highs up in the south, close to 100 degrees next week. And, of course, along with that, with those higher temperatures comes a greater risk of higher humidity and then, you know, subsequent thunderstorms. So could be a festive week next 5 days or so after the start of fall on Monday. Be aware of that. If you're driving somewhere tonight, there's all sorts of thunderstorms across the map, and we'll try to keep you company as you get through it. Big football day today. Notre Dame almost pulled it off. Go Dogs. I mean, I'm kind of a Georgia guy, but I mean, I was pulling for the Dome because they came really close. And it was exciting down to the last minute or so. There were some good games like that. There's going on one going on right now, Arizona State versus Colorado. I'm kind of a Sun Devils guy, but, you know, Colorado's coming on strong finally after being in the doldrums for a while. So it that part was good. I hope you had a great Saturday after last night's show on Coast to Coast AM. I did. Really enjoyed the conversation we had with Mark Alpert about his book, The Coming Storm, which dealt in part about the effects of climate change along coastal communities in the United States, and then in his dystopian vision as a writer and a regular observer of scientific phenomenon, researchers into scientific phenomena, that he came up with some pretty intriguing elements into this book about that started with the idea of designer babies and super soldiers, and then how governments might respond to devastating superstorms, which he believes are on the way and sooner as opposed to later. But it was a great conversation. If you had Coast Insider, you can go back and you can listen to it. If you don't, you should get it. I'll get the promo out of the way at coasttocoastam.com. You get Coast Insider. While you're there, remember, we have this new feature that you're going to love, the Art Bell Vault. Nobody knows exactly where it is. It's not in Nevada. It's somewhere in California, we think. Maybe Sherman Oaks. But the Art Bell Vault is where we're pulling these wonderful old Art Bell shows and then posting them for Coast Insiders to be able to go back and enjoy. Now, they were replaying an Art Bell show before I came on the air on our local affiliate. And it was really good to hear Art. I love how Art was taking calls. And I was reminded of those early days when I was used to be, you know, filling in for Art and then became a regular participant during the week for Coast to Coast AM, when Art and the rest of us were by and large answering the calls cold. Art more than the rest of us, but it was funny to hear every time how Art had to work through people leaving their radios on in the background. Like every single call begins with, "Sir, please, ma'am, please, turn your radio down," and then you can hear the radio slapping back. "I don't have it on." "Yeah, you do. I can hear it." "No, I don't have it on." Like every call. It was kind of put a smile on my face. There's a little bit of nostalgia. We don't have that anymore. But what we do have on Coast to Coast AM is we have a lot of the same great guests that started way back when. I mean, we're talking, you know, 20 years ago. And one of those is Ken Hansen. Dr. Kenneth Hansen is a professor of Judaic studies at the University of Central Florida. He's going to be our guest tonight. Ken and I go way back. Love his books on the Dead Sea Scrolls and on the Kabbalah and many things biblical. He's got some new research. We'll talk about that coming up later on. But if you were listening last night, you also heard that I had a breakthrough using CBD oil. And I shared it just because I was interested, got some interesting feedback on that. So I decided I wanted to bring on an expert in this first hour, and then we'll throw up the numbers too at the bottom of the hour, but an expert in this first hour to talk about CBD oil, because my one big question remains. I'm having, it's helping me a lot. I just don't know why. So I wanted to ask somebody and see if we can find out together next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I guess I should say I have a nominal amount of stock, very small, very, very small amount of stock that I bought a couple of years ago in the companies that were pushing for legislation and or hoping for the legalization of marijuana. I don't smoke dope. I never have. And I was reluctant to try CBD oil when I did originally a couple of years ago. And it actually didn't work for me. I used it, put some on my tongue. I had like drops I was supposed to use, and it just didn't do anything for me. But I have sort of an ongoing medical issue and something I've talked about before on Coast to Coast and a little bit last night. And I just out of desperation, I decided to give it a shot. And I went into a local shop, tried it, and I'm having this really surprisingly positive response to it. So that's why I wanted to ask Christopher Boucher, who's been on before on Coast to Coast AM, to give us a little bit more insight. He's the guy who co-wrote the first California and Colorado Industrial Hemp Legislation Act back in 1995, which still remains sort of a model for state legislation regarding industrial hemp. But he's also an expert on CBD oil, and he's agreed to join us on Coast to Coast AM. And so thank you, Christopher, for giving us time. I know you've been on Coast before. Were you talking about CBD oil before when you were on?
Yes, we were. Yeah, I think it was in 2014, and it's a pleasure to be on here, Ian, and I'm so glad you're talking about it.
Yeah, to circle back to something we just said, the show has always been very pro hemp, and not and for that matter too, I think by and large pro marijuana legalization because it's just a freedom issue, and to me that even though I don't smoke it, I just believe in government should provide more freedom to more people, especially obviously adults, but. I don't know. I've been researching it, and I can't figure out why it works. So I know you're not a doctor, but I know you've also researched this because you've had to make the case for it. Explain. I mean, I know Georgia's had a commercial and everything, but CBD oil is different than medicinal marijuana. But I think most people may understand it. But just to draw that line, that distinction, how would you explain the difference?
Yes, and that's a good question. And I always like to tell people that that CBD actually regulates your serotonin. And the question is, what is serotonin? And serotonin is a neurotransmitter that's made in the brain and the intestines. And what serotonin does is regulates the mood. It regulates nausea, appetite, bone health, sleep, emotions, even sexual functions. But
Not
the
my
vast
problem.
majority
That
of
wasn't
serotonin.
the unspecified problem that I mentioned earlier. I just want to be very clear about that.
Yes, and it really, like I said, it helps regulate, your mood and your
Right.
appetite and also your sleep, your circadian rhythm. And it's a real core basic function in the body. And I believe in the future, when you go see your doctor, they're going to check your blood pressure, your cholesterol, and then they're going to check your cannabidiol and your cannabinoid levels, because it's your endocannabinoid system, which is a whole nother, subject. However, I'm not a doctor. I've just been involved in help writing some of the legislation and also just the research and starting some of the original companies that really put it out there on the marketplace.
Well, but how does it help for pain? And this is the part I've been experiencing some relief from, is that I have an what they call a cervicogenic headache. I've had it since 2009. It is part of what forced me to kind of leave radio for a while. It's a 24/7 disruptive experience that comes along with some tinnitus, and I there's only a certain amount of painkillers you can take. That you don't want to take too many over the counter stuff, and you're terrible on your liver and whatever. So, but I've had really good success with this, and I don't necessarily know why it's working on this part of my where my head connects to my neck. And at the risk of sounding too much like an infomercial starring Larry King on some, late night channel, I just want you to anybody to explain how it is that it's more effective right now than like Advil.
Yes, so you could take Advil and go 30 times X. It's 30 times more, I'd say, stronger and potent in terms of inflammation. It actually reduces the inflammation. So obviously, you probably have an inflammation issue somewhere that's causing that pain and an effect. And that's kind of one of its functions, that it really reduces inflammation, 30 to 40 times more than an aspirin or an Advil. And that's where people are seeing that, but they don't understand the science, and they see the marketing and they see the education on it. So we're slowly coming to grips with that this is actually a medicine that can help a lot of people. But unfortunately, there's been no research or phase three, studies done on cannabidiol, cannabinoids. And it's just starting now. I mean, we're really behind. The Israelis are way ahead of us in terms of their research. So hopefully here in the very near future, we'll see more and more of these studies coming out explaining that particular situation with chronic pain and inflammation and how it starts and how CBD cannabidiol helps and affects that situation.
Yeah, and I think that's where I have run into this sort of question mark from my own doctor. So I told him I was having some success with that, and he knew nothing about it. And the reason why he knows nothing, I mean, and here's a younger doctor. For God's sakes, he has a ponytail and he wears bow ties. He looks like the kind of guy who would know a little bit about weed. But he actually said, there's no medical, there's very little medical research about it because of legislation that had been passed years ago that prevented research on medical marijuana. Is that still in effect?
Pretty much so. It's a controlled substance. That means that it's a Schedule I drug, which technically means it has no medical use for humans. So it doesn't matter if you're Harvard, Yale, or the Mayo Clinic. If you try to study it, the DEA controls all the permits for studying. And, they're not going to give you a permit because it's a controlled substance Schedule I that says you're not allowed to use it unless it's done under strict laboratory, circumstances. But overall, I think they're starting to ease up on that, and companies are now getting approval from the FDA to actually do the research. But we're still a few years behind. But that's the problem. It's been considered a Schedule I, has no medical use whatsoever, and it should have never been put there in the first place. But it was done through, hysteria and just misinformation and bad science.
Kind of that whole moral panic thing that happens sometimes, and politicians love to jump on those types of wagons because it gets them votes, and then they don't suffer the consequences of it. They don't care. So, but that means that there's a ton of people out there who are having, pervasive health problems that have been learning to sort of work in the margins or in the shadows of what's legal until state by state that's been changing, although it hasn't changed at a federal level. I saw, are you a basketball guy at all? Do you follow basketball at all?
I'm a little Celtics fan, you
Okay.
could say that.
Okay. Well, so you remember Bill Nelson, right? Mr. Straight Arrow, Mr. Blazer and slacks on the sidelines. He coached the Bucks and I think the Spurs for a while, and he was a pretty well-known coach. And he now lives in Hawaii and grows has his own brand of medical marijuana. His best friend is Willie Nelson, and he has been sort of a pioneer on this for athletes who have those, you know, the problems with all of the body weight landing on their knees and their feet, and the lower back problems. And so he's been providing this sort of specialty brand of medicinal marijuana, with you know, where athletes who no longer have to, you know, take a, you know, no longer have to pee in a cup, you know, former athletes who are no longer subject to those types of NBA regulations, they are able to, you know, they're able to take advantage of this. But there's so many people out there who would seemingly be in hospitals and have ongoing neuralgia and other stuff who would do great with, it would seem anyway, with either starting with CBD oil or even medicinal marijuana. And they may live in a state where they can get CBD oil, but not medicinal marijuana. But there may even just be, you know, sort of these social prohibitions about from doctors recommending it. When I'm telling you, I've had a huge breakthrough on that.
Yes, and it's really become more and more popular in the sense that you're seeing athletes come out. For instance, Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots.
Right.
Player in football, he retired because of the pain and the bruising and, you know, the concussions he got. And I don't know if anyone ever saw his about 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks
ago. The press conference? Yeah.
Press conference. And, I mean, he nailed it. I mean, of all people, I thought, wow, this guy really nailed it in terms of using the CBD, how it saved his life. I mean, he was pretty emotional and, you know, he's talking about trying to introduce it into the NFL and get these guys off the opiates.
Right.
And they just have to overcome this fear of, oh, it's cannabis or it's a cannabinoid. And, you know, they just don't have the science. And now people like him and other athletes are coming out and really explaining how it's benefited them and it's changed their life in a really positive way.
But again, so we're talking with Christopher Boucher, who's a American pioneer in the hemp industry and in writing legislation concerning medical marijuana and CBD oil. So the CBD oil piece, though, again, different. If I take, I don't have any problem now that I'm taking CBD oil every day. I won't have any problem passing a drug test, will I?
No, you won't. There's basically minuscule amounts of THC within the oil. There are some companies that produce it without the THC, but I like to compare it to the I call the poppy seed bagel theory. You know, there's more opiates
right.
in a poppy seed
right.
than there is THC in CBD oil. So, you know, you'd have to drink 50 gallons of it before you'd even, you know, test positive. But what's really scary is that you don't want to even take a chance if you, you know, have a job or you're an athlete and somehow there's a cross-contamination. So they're really trying to figure that that part out. But most people don't test positive by taking CBD oil, and especially it's from a reputable company that regulates the THC in there, that it is not prevalent, that would even fail any type of drug test.
But right now, there are no national tests being administered by the FDA or anything like that. So it's really up to the industry to police itself.
Yes, the industry is going to have to police itself, and they're going to have to really acknowledge that this is a medicine that is going to help people, you know, not just with their pain, but get them off some of these opiates that people yeah. are strung out on. And at the same time, not only reducing pain, but just the quality of life. And like, again, you were mentioning that, you know, you've had some serious pain issues and you've taken it.
Yeah.
And there's been over, I think, 100 million people at some point that have tried it. And they say about 80% of the people feel the benefit of it. And that's a really good consensus when you start looking at, you know, the whole industry as a whole. Is it reputable? Is this a scam? Is this some kind of new fad? No, it's not. It's reality, and we've just kept it out of our entire pharmaceutical
yeah, really.
Medicine for years and years. And again, at one point in time in America, it was one of the most prescribed medicines here in this United States.
When was it the last time that it was as CBD oil prescribed successfully?
They never prescribed it. CBD is, I like to call it an American invention. It was really produced here in this United States by, actually, one of the first pioneers was a guy named Lawrence Ringo, and he was up in Humboldt County, and he had really bad back pain, and he was trying to, you know, use marijuana, and he was trying to come up with all these different strains of THC and CBD, and he actually found, you know, a high strain of CBD, and he noticed it was the only thing that alleviated his back pain, and he crossed a lot of these original hybrids that we currently have today, and it's just been a nonstop research crossbreeding of being able to produce a plant that produces enough CBD that you can extract out of the plant that is beneficial.
All right. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give the numbers coming up next because I know other people will have questions. I learned something about that CBD oil, which you mentioned at the very start of our conversation, which I wanted to throw out too. We'll get back to that. Christopher Boucher, our first hour guest on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Ponet. I just heard from Tony on Twitter, and I'm going to pass along an article that he highlighted. Thank you, Tony Jones. He's pointing out that for the first time in 50 years, it's hemp harvest time in Rhode Island. How cool is that? Always nice to hear from a colleague. Thank you, Tony. But more importantly, those are the numbers. You join the conversation here, and that also establishes the theme for the bumpers, for a biblical theme for the bumpers tonight, in honor of our guest, Kenneth Hansen, coming up after the top of the hour on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. You know, the legalization of CBD oil is pretty universal now across the country. I was happy to announce last night that I've had some pretty good success with it, and I haven't tried medicinal marijuana. I don't know that I'll need to. It's working pretty well. It didn't work at first, and that's why I asked Christopher Boucher to help me understand what exactly is working and why it's working so well. So let me tell you real quickly, and then we'll get to the phones. Christopher, I have this sort of ongoing headache, right, that I mentioned. And what I learned was I wasn't taking enough. The CBD oil that I was taking before, I was putting drops on my tongue. It was meaningless. It was just a waste of money. But when I took it with this tincture that's like a water-based tincture, which tastes a little bit better, it's sort of lemony, sort of. It's sort of like, it kind of reminds me of a big brother of a friend of mine growing up who used to take us little kids, knock us down on the lawn, and make us eat grass. But it's a little lemony. It's like a lemony version of that. So I take that tincture, which is a water-based. It's one squirt, 30 mils in the morning, and then in the evening, too. So I do it like twice a day. And then the thing for me has been the success of putting this balm, this CBD oil balm, on the outside of the same area that I'm treating. And that's the 1-2 punch that I think is working. Although it seems to sort of surprise me that it could seep through the skin that fast. Can you explain that?
Yes, it's more of a neurotopical application. So you're putting on your skin, it's getting your neurotopical ailment that is where your ailment's coming from, whether it's on your neck or on your back.
Right.
Plus, you're using a water base, which is probably a little more bioavailable in terms of it's getting into your bloodstream quicker and faster.
Ah,
and you mentioned you were putting it on your tongue. The whole key to making CBD actually work, you want to put it under your tongue, because under your tongue is called sublingual, and the mucous membrane under your tongue is able to absorb that into your bloodstream quicker and faster. When you put it on your tongue, which you shouldn't, it ends up going into your stomach and it gets digested and goes through your system. So
interesting.
It's really about delivery, and that's
yeah.
key to it working. And what's the delivery method? Is it a oil-based or a water-soluble base? And again, that's a whole other subject, but yes, anyone who's taking any kind of droppers or, you know, into the mouth, you want to put it under your tongue and let it soak in there for a minute or so. That way, It's actually soaking into your mucous membrane and getting into your bloodstream. And these are things that, you know, we're learning as we go along. And hopefully that with the technology and the research that's happening, more and more people will have a better delivery method than just
yeah.
a pill or a capsule. And if
Well,
that makes any sense.
I only did it the way the guy explained it to me, and I don't think he said sublingual. I would have remembered that. All right, let me go to first-time caller line. Penny is in St. Paul, my old haunts, on Coast to Coast AM. Penny, you're talking with Christopher Boucher, expert on CBD oil. Penny?
Oh, thank you so much. I've never been on the phone before with a program, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm grateful to you, Mr. Pennant, too, because you're wonderful.
Well, you're nice, and you haven't screwed it up yet, so you're doing great.
Mr. Boucher, I'm just grateful I heard you, and I just had the call. I'm suffering from a lot of different issues. The biggest one right now is I'm not able to eat, and I've had depression for many years. I'm not taking any medications, and I used to be a hearty eater, and now for 2 months I haven't been able to eat. We haven't found anything that's working. I don't want to go into long detail, but I had seen this CBD oil in a store that's very trustworthy. I trust. I know there's a lot of different ones, but my question to you would be, they had different strengths of this CBD oil. I wouldn't even know where to start on the strength of it.
Christopher,
they were
ahead.
Different price ranges, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And that's a really good question. It's called linear dosing. What's the how many milligrams are you supposed to take a CBD? We know if you're taking a Valium or a Xanax, you take 5 milligrams or 20 milligrams. And so these are definite issues that people need to learn. How many milligrams do I take? And it seems to be anywhere from 40 to 80 to 200 milligrams. The range is quite vast, but it's getting the right dosage into your bloodstream. And sometimes it might take a couple days for it to actually take effect. You know, everyone's different. And what you eat also, if you're eating greasy, fatty foods, or if you're eating, you know, heavy starches, that can all affect the dosage of what you're taking and how it gets into your bloodstream. But most important is really doing it sublingual, under the tongue, or most important is really a water soluble that goes right into your bloodstream.
Well, I'll tell you, Penny, I think this is interesting because what Penny told us, Chris, was that she's not eating at all. So my suggestion to you, Penny, is kitchen sink it. That was my success with it, was I just thought, okay, I got nothing to lose. My head hurts like hell. I'm just going to go. So when they told me, you know, well, you can take up to 30 mils, I was like, fine. He said, here's what they told me. I had a tincture, which he said, you can take this 30 mil and you could take this essentially an eyedropper full and put it into a bottle of your standard plastic bottle of water, right? Like what you would get just if you're going to buy a bottle of water at a store. Just put it in there, drink it. And he said that, you know, it'll go in your system. You'll be fine. I opted for just doing the eyedropper, and then I do a little chaser of water just to get a little bit of that flavor out of my mouth. That's what worked for me. And I did it the first time I did it 3 times a day. I did it. And they didn't recommend this, and I don't know if Chris recommends it or not, but this is what I did, and it worked. I did it in the morning, I did it at noon, and then I did it at night for the first couple of days. And I felt an immediate effect.
So. Yeah, and that's exactly what you want to do. You want to kitchen sink it in terms of the literature's not out there yet, but try it.
Right.
Try a little bit here in the morning, in the afternoon, and see how you feel. And maybe it might help bring your appetite back.
Yeah.
You definitely want to try it in a different time zone, like I said, in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening. And you definitely can... we'll be able to feel the effects at some point, maybe after a couple of days. Some people feel it right away.
I did.
Some people it takes 4 or 5 days. So, you know, we're all different. Our whole metabolisms are different. So that's something to think about.
Yeah. The guy warned me at my shop. He said, you know, it'll take a day or two. By that night, I felt better. And I was like, well, that's weird. It was just really fast. Nothing works that well. All right, so Thomas is in La Jolla on a wild card line on Coast to Coast AM. And good luck, Penny. I'd love an update when you can. You're talking with Christopher Boucher. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Ian. Christopher, for those of us who are petrochemical or benzene sensitive, right now, I mean, I can't find a CBD oil that is, it seems like they're all extracted. I'm talking about the extraction process. They're all extracted with either petrochemicals or benzene. Is there a CBD oil that is not extracted with petrochemicals or not extracted with benzene? Again, for those of us who are benzene or petrochemical sensitive.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and that's, again, a great question. And so most people are extracting with ethanol. There are some companies, I know CV Sciences in San Diego, they use a CO2 extraction. So they're not using any type of alcohol or benzene type chemical to extract it. So it should say on the label or the bottle, but that is, you know, some people don't want any alcohol in their medicine or their tinctures. And those people would be benefiting from using a CO2 extracted oil or a water-based, which Ian is using, a water-based, which is much more bioavailable for your system.
I would do that. I would so do that. And it really comes down to the expense and, you know, the potency and expense. And if you're really suffering, I would just roll the dice, get the highest potency you can, that you can afford, and get it going as fast as possible. That was my success. Daniel's in Kansas on a wild card line. Is this my old friend, Daniel, on Coast to Coast? Daniel?
Bless you, Dr. Bennett.
How you doing, buddy? I haven't heard from you in ages. I was worried about you.
I've got some problems. I've had some medical problems.
I'm sorry.
I had a long-term medical problem. My cervical spine from C1 to C4 is fused, and I don't want to berate your guest, but first of all, I want to make a couple statements. The fastest way of any drug, even if you inject it into an artery or a vein, the fastest way is sublingual. That's why people on hospice are given sublingual morphine to put under the tongue. It immediately absorbs immediately. My second thing is the Chinese have been doing this for 4,000 years. I got off of over 400 milligrams of oxycodone painkillers that I was on for 12 years. 2 years ago, and I didn't go nuts, I didn't go buy heroin, I didn't do any illegal activities, but they're talking about papers, they're talking about directions, they're talking about how to use it. The Chinese have been doing this for 4,000 years.
Sure. What did you use?
Pardon me?
What did you use then?
What I used to begin with in 1974, when I came back to this country, I used a product that was called Tiger Balm, and it's still available.
Yeah.
They
What's in
it? For a while. And it comes from China, has a big picture of a tiger with some bamboo around
right.
it.
Right. Well, I'm assuming it doesn't have bits of tiger in it, so what's in it?
CBD and THC.
Okay.
So they didn't, they use a water base.
Right.
Like they have for centuries upon
sure.
centuries. And America, I'll tell you the reason why CBD has been resisted, why it's been diluted, why it's been delivered. This information has been out there for centuries.
Oh, sure.
The pharmaceutical companies cannot get a grip. A monopoly on this like they do
right.
on all the drugs that you
That's
watch
true.
On TV when you tune in to your 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news in the evening
right.
and all you see is these pharmaceutical companies. And I just
right.
want to make this one other statement.
We got to be quick here because I got other people hanging on though, Daniel.
Okay,
so go ahead.
Let me just make this real quick. They try to make a settlement with Purdue Pharmacy with the Sackler family.
Right.
This drug has killed 400,000 people that they know of. They are making a settlement, civil settlement. They will not be held criminally liable for 400,000 deaths.
Right. Right.
And I know some of them, not all of them, they should be. And that is the only reason CBD is not as advanced in our medical society. And if people just drop this American crap, because you can get it for a tenth of the price if you go to Chinatown, or if you import, if you get it yourself.
Let's get Christopher's response to that. Thank you, Daniel. It's always good to hear. I hope you feel better soon. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a point there. It's the Chinese medicine. It's been around for thousands of years, and here in America, we're just starting to see it. But however, if you go back in the history of the United States and you look at the pharmacopoeia in the 1800s, it was the most prescribed medicine. It just wasn't regulated, and there was no FDA at the time. So, you know, again, people didn't know what they were getting. But whether it was George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, they were all cannabis users, and it's all recorded in their diaries and in our history. So, you know, history repeats itself, and I think we're in that position right now that history is repeating itself with this medicine. And the more people like Daniel and other people that are out there, I think that the word is catching on really quick.
Right. We're running out of time. I wanted to get East and West on and then move on, but let me get to Denise, who's in Watertown. She has a question for Christopher Boucher about CBD oil. Denise?
Yes. Hi, Ian. Can you hear me?
Sure can. We're under such tight restrictions.
Okay,
go ahead.
Christopher, I have glaucoma in both eyes. The only negative thing I've ever heard about CBD oil is that it will raise the pressure, which makes no sense to me because medical marijuana is supposed to help lower the pressure. Are you familiar with any of that?
Yes, and I can say real quick, the new word is CBG, cannabigenerial, and they're using that right now for people with glaucoma, ocular pressure. There's over 60 cannabinoid compounds in cannabis. We're just talking about two of them, CBD and THC, but I like to call it the next CBD is going to be CBG, which they're finding out now that has some of the best results for ocular pressure, glaucoma, and
there
that's something if you want to Google it and look it up. My company, Farmtiva, we're here in San Diego, and we actually breed seeds and we grow plants that basically have CBG and CBD, and it's, you know, the whole new phase of what's going to happen. And to answer your question, I would definitely look at the CBG. It's called cannabigenerial, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
I'm sure you do. Let me get time. We have time for Mitchell in Seattle, and I just got to hustle to get him on. Mitchell, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, and God bless you both.
Thank you.
I have some fairly severe back pain, but my brother also suffers. But I wanted to mention a home remedy that when I was 20, I was working as a mover. And
we don't have a lot of time here, so you got to go ahead. Do you have a question, or just wanted to say?
Yeah. Does the oil, do they heat it before they apply
good question.
It? Is it like heated? I know that marijuana has to be heated before it becomes psychoactive.
That's a good question.
Like
I don't think
so. And what they do is they do heat it, and it converts the CBDA into CBD, and that's how it actually affects the body. If you just ate it right off the plant, it wouldn't have an effect on you. But, yes, it is heated.
But it's not heated when I put it on my body. Well, that's what I try to say. So if there was a heating process earlier on up the river, by the time I put it on, I don't have to do anything with it.
Yeah, it's decarboxylation. That's the word for heating it and converting it over so it works.
You know, you were great. Thank you for everything. It's working really well for people I know who have anxiety, too. And you mentioned that earlier, so I just wanted to emphasize that for people who mentioned depression as well. Apparently, it's very effective, so look into it. Find out if it's right for you. Thank you, Christopher Boucher. And thank you, Ken Hansen, for hanging on. My old friend,
hey,
coming up next.
You're awesome. Thank you.
God bless you. Have a great day. And Ken Hansen next on Coast to Coast AM.